You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Good morning. Welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Mott, Calvin Butenoff, coming to you live from our studio here at Radio Park in Racine. You can join us, call or text. The number is the same, 855-752-4842. You can leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Just a reminder, Todd Alba takes over after the noon news from noon to 2 p.m. today. To kick off the show, Todd will preview Trump's joint address to Congress tonight at 8 p.m. Luke Mathers will stop by his show for some Tuesday tangents. And then Todd has a Taco Tuesday edition of What's Worse.
I need to know, because nothing's worse than nothing. Tacos are amazing. So I need to know what's worse about
what's
it.
What's worse? So join Todd today, probably in the second hour. What's worse, the Taco Tuesday edition. Right now, though, we're being joined by the program manager for Wisconsin Saltwise. Allison Madison is here. Good morning, Allison. How are you doing?
I'm doing all right. Just getting over a little head cold, unfortunately. But
you're not alone.
I'll take it.
Absolutely. First of all, tell us about Wisconsin Saltwise. What is it? What is its mission? And how long have you guys been around?
Yeah, so Wisconsin Saltwise started in the Madison area as a local initiative. The city, the county, the wastewater treatment plant, water utility, all seeing that we've got a problem. Salt levels going up in our lakes, streams, also drinking water. So I was hired in 2020 to kind of grow this program and take it statewide, because it's unfortunately not just a Madison problem,
right?
Nor is it just a Wisconsin problem. So also working at this point with folks kind of across the Midwest and east to the Atlantic that are seeing these problems right now in our water.
And what's the fallout from that, the increase in salt in our water, in our drinking water?
Yeah, so in our drinking water, it's most impactful for people who are supposed to be on a low-sodium diet. Right now, the DNR has shared that 39%, so practically 40% of municipal drinking water wells have surpassed the recommendation that the EPA has for people who should be on a low-sodium diet. There are some folks, I work, like I said, with people in other states, so some people in New York State that have had to move to bottled water. They can no longer drink their water from private drinking water wells. There are also, I know in New Jersey just a week or so ago, the water utility said, you know, your water might taste salty this week. We've got a lot of snow melt coming into the reservoirs. So just keep tabs on that. We know. So it's definitely a problem for, you know, aesthetically, people don't want to drink salty water.
Right.
And then that impact if you're supposed to be on a low sodium diet. And then, you know, there's a whole host of impacts to the lakes and streams that so many of us really care for in Wisconsin.
Yeah, I can't imagine that elevated levels of salt are good for fish.
Yeah, nope.
It's like they're pickling themselves in advance.
Exactly, right? That's what I usually talk to when I'm, you know, explaining this work to people. It's like a lot of us in Wisconsin, I feel like, you know, make pickles or maybe sauerkraut. And we understand if you put something in salt brine, like the water, you know, is drawn out of it. So that's literally what happens to tiny little organisms that fish eat. So little zooplankton get pickled at fairly low concentrations of salt in our water. And that means, you know, less food going up the food chain. But also zooplankton eat algae. And so that's one thing that I think people don't really connect, because, you know, salt water doesn't have a color to it. But as we salt our water, it actually contributes to those lakes and streams getting greener, because we're taking away the things that eat algae.
And algae has become a growing problem. That too is all across the country. Those algae blooms are not good.
Exactly, right? And I think a lot of people connect that, you know, nutrients like fertilizers or excess manure, anything coming off those farm fields can fertilize the algal growth. But then with the salt pollution, we're reducing the ability to kind of rein that in.
So, Allison, the road salt is a big problem. Road salt is what is leaching into our systems, right? Because we put it on the roads before we get a big snowstorm or a sleet storm or something like that. And then when it melts, everything ends up in the waterways eventually.
Yep, it all goes into our water. I think there's definitely a misconception that like rain gardens or retention basins that are good to filter out a lot of other stuff can somehow magically filter out salt, but unfortunately it doesn't work that way. Salt just continues to move wherever the water moves. So we are just seeing those concentrations go up year after year. And like you said, kind of more salt going down in a given winter, more salt going into our water.
Forgive the question. I don't know a lot about this. So when you talk about southeastern Wisconsin, specifically where we live, you know, we have, you know, state-of-the-art world-class water filtration centers that take lake water and get them to our tap water. Are any of those filtration systems able to filter out the salt, or is it making its way through?
Yeah. So, my understanding, which I do talk to a lot of people, is that right now there are no water utilities in Wisconsin that are removing salt. I have heard that, I believe it's Rothschild mm-hmm. up in central Wisconsin, kind of near Wausau, is looking at getting the ability to remove PFAS. And so potentially as part of that, they would also add in the ability to treat for chlorides, for salts.
Okay.
It is very, very expensive, not just to buy the equipment, but also to operate that equipment. Osmosis just takes so much energy to pull those tiny little salt ions out of water.
Well, and unfortunately, the one thing that most municipalities in Wisconsin don't have is a whole bunch of extra money to address things like this. It just isn't there. So now we're kind of looking at what can we do instead of the after effects. Let's do something ahead of the problem. Correct, Allison?
Exactly. Yes. And so that has been a big focus of Saltwise, is to accelerate the adoption of best practices in winter maintenance. So we see that, different county highway departments, municipalities, school districts, universities that work to train their staff and then move towards better practices. So things like calibrating equipment, focusing it more on mechanical removal. So sometimes that's different, better plow blades that can conform to the uneven pavement, or maybe moving and utilizing, again, when it makes sense, rotary brush tools, kind of brooms to sweep the salt. I've seen contractors out sometimes with leaf blowers if it's a really light salt or light snow. It's just recognizing like what are all the other tools out there, and then what is the level of service for different roads? Obviously, our highways, our interstates, people really want bare pavement there. But if we're in town and it's 25 mile per hour zone, like, is that going to be bare pavement everywhere? Some municipalities have said no. I mean, I grew up in northern Wisconsin, spent a lot of time in northern Minnesota, and people kind of have that understanding, oh yeah, it's winter, right? And I'm going to have to slow down.
Right.
It's not going to be everywhere all the time. So some of those bigger policy shifts, are, I think, also important. But the basic best practices, some of them that require really no extra money to calibrate your equipment, are dropping salt use by 25, 35, 45. Some municipalities have even dropped their salt use by over 50%.
Wow.
So incredible. And that's like huge. We go back to talking about dollars, right? Like that's huge savings for municipalities.
If you're just joining us, Allison Madison is our guest from Wisconsin Saltwise. And I want to thank Melissa Kay from Civic Media, one of our news reporters, who did a great article with you. We missed Wisconsin Salt Week. I was going to put up a tree, but it's about educating people and getting them on board with this. This sounds like a no-brainer, Allison, that this is something that all of us can agree on, which tells me that there's got to be someone out there who's like pro-salt, big salt is coming in and saying, no, we want to keep using salt. What are the arguments against this?
Yeah, so I would say that one of the biggest arguments on the private side, like we're trying to, we are working with contractors, property managers, but the fear of liability is just, number one.
Sure.
People, salt, yay, you save, tens or hundreds, maybe even thousands of dollars on the salt. You can save tens of thousands of dollars sometimes on reduced maintenance costs, and you're not repairing, replacing, turf as well as your hardscaping as much. But one lawsuit, right? $250,000, like all those savings are gone. So on the private side, we have worked, we introduced a bill that was modeled after some New Hampshire legislation that actually provides limited liability protection to contractors that get certified in best practices, and then they document what they do. So that has been something exciting, but again, the trial lawyers, as you would expect, came out really hard against that. So we weren't able to pass that bill last session, but working with the governor's office right now, we actually got a bill introduced that would create a grant program for municipalities so that they could get that kind of one-time investment they need to have long-term savings and salt reductions.
Clean water seems like something we should all be able to agree upon, that this shouldn't be a divisive thing. And if there are alternatives to using salt, then that should be explored. This shouldn't be a difficult thing.
Yeah, it's really exciting to see a lot of the operators and people involved in public works talk about the incredible achievements that they've had in this. So some of it is utilizing brine kind of with rock salt, so that when rock salt goes down, typically it hits the pavement and it might bounce and scatter out of the lane. It's not doing any good. Mm-hmm. Versus if we pre-wet that rock salt with brine, it sticks right in place, stays on the road where we need the melting, and the melting happens more quickly. So things like that, and the operators get excited talking about their new toys with one another. And so it's like, I host equipment open houses where we get different municipalities, again, counties, school districts, to come together and talk and kind of have a little show and tell. So the work of Saltwise, I'd say, is overall, it's been really meaningful. I love my work, really passionate about it. I want to just continue to get the word out there and get more people on board.
Allison Madison is with Wisconsin Saltwise. We will include this article from Melissa Kay in our show notes. And I think it's also a good reminder, Allison, when you throw garbage out your window, anything you throw out your window, anything that's on the ground ends up in our water system somewhere. So keep that in mind as well. Allison Madison, thank you so very much for your time. Appreciate it.
Thank you so much, Jane and Greg and Calvin.
Have a great day. Stay with us. You are listening to Matt Nair on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Good morning. Welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, and Sweet Calvi on the board. Coming to you from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us. Call or text. It is the same number, 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. After the 11:30 news, we will lighten it up for the last half hour of the show, as we always do. What we like to call a little audio sorbet. Nice. Today... thanks. I'll pass on that. It's Punchki Day.
Yeah.
They're jelly donuts.
I bet you there's not a single person in our radio listening land who's surprised that you don't like Punchkis.
There's one particular Punchki. We'll get to it.
Okay.
But today it's dessert specific.
But I just feel like there's a lot of things out there. People are like, I love this. You're like, ugh.
Jane complains again. That's
Jane
a whole.
Oh!
That's a whole new segment. Yes, you don't want to listen to that. Thanks. I'll pass on that. Coming up after the 11:30 news today, it is dessert specific, and then we'll wrap up the show as we always do with "This shouldn't be a thing." Today, the 911 emergency edition. We have a little audio extra to go along with that. So stick around for that coming up at the very end of the show. Wanted to spend a couple of minutes to talk tariffs. They kicked in at midnight. 25% tariffs against Mexico and Canada. And also, I believe, 20% tariffs against China. Thank goodness Wisconsin Senior Senator Ron Johnson had this to say, quote, "I'm concerned. I'm concerned," unquote.
Cool.
Well, he can get together with Susan Collins and they can make shirts.
They can be concerned and still vote against our interests.
Absolutely. The agriculture industry, this is from Politico, by the way, lost $26 billion with a B. The agriculture industry lost $26 billion from retaliatory tariffs in 2018 and 2019, the first Trump trade wars. Mm-hmm. That is according to the Ag Department, with soybean, sorghum, and pork producers taking the biggest losses. Now, of course, at that time, the USDA stepped in with billions of dollars in direct payments to farmers to help them weather that. But
wasn't
this,
that $12 billion?
It was a lot of money.
Yeah.
However, that funding could be harder to access this time around as the administration is looking to cut federal spending.
Yep.
And we've talked to farmers, and Darren Von Ruden is going to be with us tomorrow. He's the head of the Wisconsin
Farmers Union,
about farmers don't want handouts from the government.
They want to work.
They want to be paid fairly for their products.
They want to be treated with the same amount of respect as the words that politicians say about them. The way they talk about farmers does not compare to how they are treated.
Absolutely.
So, yeah, they just want to work. This isn't a right or left thing. This is a value us as much as you say we are valued.
And we can say the same thing about veterans, too.
Oh, God, we can say about seniors. So many people.
Yeah. The internal bank that the first Trump administration tapped to compensate farmers, the Commodity Credit Corporation, is running low on funding. And it could be hard to sell Trump officials on a new infusion of cash at the same time they are slashing spending elsewhere. According to Ronald Baumgarten, former senior director in the U.S. Trade Representative's Office of Agricultural Affairs, if you're trying to shrink government, you don't want to enlarge the subsidies. This man served under both Presidents Barack Obama and Donald Trump. A number, though, of Republicans said last night they're just confident the Trump administration will find a new way to compensate farmers who lose money and market share from these new tariffs. Now, when we've talked to Darren Von Ruden in the past, countries find other places to get their soybeans.
And they already have. And we've lost.
And we have lost market. We have permanently lost market share because of that.
Yes. And I really cannot wait to hear Darren's take on this tomorrow. You know, it's very, very frustrating, but I was going to make a joke in reference to what Bill Cassidy said earlier in the show when we were talking about Social Security, of just making up.
Just saying words.
It's like, well, I have a fix. Farmers, just farm more and you'll be fine.
Work harder.
Work smarter. But it isn't funny, because the thing is, they are working harder. They're trying to work smarter. Working smarter in the farm. Pat and I and a couple of the listeners got a little into it this morning about this. To work smarter takes money.
Yes.
To make money, they need to work. You see how that works? And it isn't about becoming and one of the things we discussed was the fact that this is pushing farms towards big corporations, not corporatization. Farms can be corporate, but that doesn't mean they're like a big corporate, gigantic billion-dollar conglomerate farm. It's about making sure our farmers are all protected and all taken care of so they can do what they have set out to do for the past, I don't know, 20, 30, 40, 50, 150 years through their family's land, is take care of them and let them work. But you can't do that if we're just saying, well, sorry, farm bill, maybe 2026.
Senator John Hoeven, Republican from North Dakota, said he is concerned. There's that word again. I'm so concerned.
Very concerned.
I'm concerned about the short-term impact of the tariffs. Quote, "I'm going to work hard to do that. And that's why we've got to separate short-term and long-term. The long-term goal is to get better terms for our guys, unquote. Well, this goes back to when co-president Elon Musk said 2 years of pain.
2 years of pain.
2 years of pain.
2 years of pain.
And then everything's going to be just dandy, apparently. But 2 years, just suck it up for 2 years.
Dear farmers, you know how you've just been living high off the hog for the past, like,
yes,
you know, 1,000 years in agriculture?
Driving all those Maseratis.
These next 2 years will be nothing. It'll just be a walk in the park. Why don't you shut the farm down and just have yourself a vacation? This is ridiculous and disrespectful and disgusting and all the words, because I am so tired of this group of people, along with vets and others, but specifically the farmers, being just disrespected to their faces. To their faces.
Over and over and over again.
I have concerns. I have concerns too. Why do you have a job?
Exports, an increasingly important revenue source for American farmers over the last 25 years, going from $57 billion in 1998 to $174 billion in 2023. Darren Von Ruden will be joining us tomorrow.
Yep.
I hope you will join us for that. Stick around. We have news coming up next. You're listening to Matt and Air on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. Good morning. Welcome. Welcome to Matt and Air on Air. Jane Matt and Air, Greg Bach, Calviente on the board, coming to you from our studio here at Radio Park in Racine. You can join us. Call or text. The number is the same, 855-752-4842. That's 855-75-CIVIC. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. We do like to lighten up the last half hour of the show. Take a little break.
What is it called, Jane?
It's called Audio Sorbet. Just to lighten it up. We talk about a lot of news, and it's important. And then I still think it's important that we take a breath, which is why we do this. So I was driving into work this morning, and I drove past O&H Danish Bakery. They were mobbed, because Lent starts tomorrow. Today is Fat Tuesday, which makes it Punchki Day.
Or as I call it, Jane, Tuesday.
Jelly donut day, essentially. A punchki is essentially a jelly donut, but people go crazy for this. It's a big tradition, has been for a long, long, long time. But all I could think of when I was driving past, and I did look at pre-ordering some punchkis.
Mm.
There is a prune punchki. That's punishment. Prune is not a treat. Prune is not a dessert.
To you.
Yes. So that's my thanks, but I'll pass on the prune punchki, because I just don't think it counts.
Here's what I really love about this. The impetus of this whole thing.
Yes.
A punchki, a Polish donut. I'll read the definition. I found it.
Okay.
A Polish donut that is typically filled with fruit or cream or deep fried, covered in powdered sugar or icing.
But prune is one of the classic flavors.
Really?
Yes.
Okay. Well, Polish people didn't get it all right. And I'm Polish. I can say that. Usually filled with plum, wild rose. That sounds intriguing.
Mm.
Strawberry, Bavarian cream, blueberry, custard, raspberry, apple. And I like how you just passed all of those wonderful treats and you're like, prunes suck.
Well, maybe this goes back to a childhood thing.
Yeah.
And maybe this is because of my age. But there were some mornings, and I'm the youngest of six.
Yeah.
And we would come to breakfast expecting to have, you know, my frosted flakes. And mom would have a little bowl of stewed prunes that we all had to eat. And it's like, why are you punishing me like this? What did I ever do to you? Huh?
Now the question, okay, so that okay. Because my no thanks, I'll pass. Well, it's not a dessert, but it makes me think of something. When I was growing up, we were in a family that ate dinner at the table all the time. But when we did, it was a classic presentation. You had your protein, you had your starch, and you had your veggies.
Yeah.
And there was always stewed carrots, usually stewed carrots. And I hated eating them. And it was one of those eat them or you don't leave the table thing.
Yeah.
Decades later, I said to my mom, hey, mom, why didn't you just give me raw carrots? And she said, I never thought of that. You didn't want stewed prunes.
Right.
But what about a regular prune?
I've been so put off by prunes.
Exactly.
That I don't think I've ever had a non-stewed prune.
Jane, we have a breakthrough here.
The point is, what is your, yeah, I'll pass
yeah.
on that dessert? For me, it's the prune punchki.
Okay.
855-752-4842. What's the dessert that everybody else seems to love and gets all excited about, and you're like, yeah, no, I'm not, no. Yeah. I'm not doing that.
I would, yeah, we were just talking about this. German chocolate cake. No, thank you.
Really?
Yep. It just looks like it, every time it's made, it looks like it was made incorrectly. Like, it should be amazing. And German chocolate cake, there is something about it. I'm going to pull it up so I can. I don't want to say what it looks like on the air because it actually is, it's not polite what I want to say.
Okay.
But every time I look at it, I'm like, I don't understand how anyone can see this as a treat and not like, oh, you did something wrong. You have to eat German chocolate cake
as a punishment.
Exactly. Like a prune punchki.
What is your dessert punishment?
Yeah.
855-752-4842. For me, it's the prune punchki. Don't right. make me.
No.
You can't make me. Rob from Port Edwards is on the line. Good morning, Rob. Thanks so much for joining us.
Good morning, folks. I have firsthand experience. Both of my grandmothers were from Poland.
Okay.
And they made killer punchki. And yes, they did make prune filled ones for themselves. Us kids would touch them with a 10-foot pole.
Thank you, Rob.
But they made They made blackberry ones that were killer. And the cream-filled ones aren't this Bavarian cream silliness you find in the grocery stores. It was true cream cheese, a blend, but it was cream cheese. Mm-hmm. And the secret that takes us to a whole different level, they are deep-fried in lard.
Oh.
It is amazing. Amazing.
So happy right now.
Try it. Cholesterol, you just hey, it's
once a year.
Dr. Schmachter's.
So do you think the secret is the lard, Rob, that really puts it over the top?
It does. It really does.
It does.
In fresh out, you just toss them in a big bowl of powdered sugar, and you can't make them fast enough. You can't because they're just every kid in the house is inhaling these things hot. They're all, it's too hot. Yeah, they keep eating anyway.
Thank you. You too, Rob. Thank you so very much. 855-752-4842. What is your dessert? Yeah, no, not for me. I'm piss.
We got on the live stream Shizu saying anything coconut or coconut flavored is a quote, thanks, no thanks. And same here.
You're the same.
Coconut is abhorrent. The coconut flakes staying in your teeth for a decade. I hate it. No, thank you. King Rat joins in and says, prune punchkis have a special name. It's called a podigwa. He said, although I'm sure I'm spelling it wrong. So I guess the prune punchki, and it probably is Polish for punishment.
See,
that's exactly
there,
what the word
there
means.
There you go.
Podigwa.
He's just backing up my argument. Mark from Prairie du Sac texting in, put it in front of me and I'll eat it. texter from WAUK, banana pudding. I had banana-flavored antibiotics when I was a kid, and everything banana-flavored now is disgusting.
Oh, but that's the thing, too, is like nothing banana-flavored tastes like a banana. Just like, oh, I have grape gum. It doesn't taste like grapes.
It's a weird manufactured flavor.
Exactly. I'm looking at a prune punchki right now, known as a prune lekvar. It looks awful. It looks truly terrible. I understand, Jane.
See?
I understand.
It's a prune. It's punishment.
Yep.
Why are you doing? What did I do to deserve this? 855-752-4842. What is the dessert that everybody gets all excited about and they love? And you're like, yeah, no, you can't. Why are you doing this to me?
Brian from Milwaukee. What? Anything lavender flavored. OMG, I might as well eat a dandelion.
That is, I think that's a great point. I have never understood the whole floral thing.
But
florals in food. Why would you do that?
Because the big thing, oh my gosh. So I used to work in beer. I used to work for a brewery. And one of the things they want you to do is talk about beer, but not just talk about beer like, hey, Jane,
have this nice, refreshing beer.
It's a good beer. I like it. It's be like, hey, have you tasted the notes? They're floral. You can get the senses of the oak barrel it was brewed in. You know, it's just fanciness. It's just fancy schmancy talk
trying to make it more of a thing.
Yeah.
I am so with you, Brian.
Scott in Madison listening to WMDX. Yeah, thank you, Brian, for reaching out. He says, any combination of orange and chocolate, yuck.
Oh.
I don't know about that. For me, as long as the orange doesn't overtake the chocolate, the acid can't overdo the sweet, I think I get down on it. But I understand where you're coming from, too. So
I like orange and chocolate.
Okay.
Texture on WAUK, a bowl of orange sherbet. It was my dad's favorite.
Sherbet.
John from Oshkosh, my grandma made prune-filled punschke. So I always get a couple of them as they remind me of her. Of course, they are nowhere near as good as hers. Of course they can't be.
Zizu also on the live stream saying, get fruit-flavored stuff from Asian countries. Where can I? That's what I'd love to. Actually tastes like banana and other delicious tasties. So that's, I shop at very basic places. If you've got wonderful suggestions, please let us know.
Brian from Milwaukee, rose is just as bad. LOL, I agree. Keep your flowers out of my food. I don't want it in there. The question is, what's the dessert? It's punschke day.
Yeah.
And what is the dessert that everybody else is like, oh, this is so great, and you're like, yeah, no, you can't make me.
So, Diane, I have a question for Madison. She's texting in. It's all caps. I'm wondering, do you like this or hate this? The homemade grandma sweet potato pies. Love them or dislike them? Because we're talking about something you would say, no, thank you. I'll take a sweet potato pie any day of the week, and I'll take it over a pumpkin pie, because most pumpkin pies nowadays just taste very manufactured.
Yeah.
Because they, you know, sweet potato pies take a little more work, in my opinion, and they're not as available.
Well, that's more of a special. Yeah, that's more of a special thing. What about you, Calvin?
I'm not a big fan of combining chocolate and fruit in any sense, really. And okay. I also am not big on chocolate cake. I would prefer a yellow cake.
Oh. Do you have a frosting that you like for your yellow cake?
White frosting.
Okay.
All white cake.
Let me guess.
I like chocolate, like, as a candy, like a chocolate bar. I don't really like chocolate ice cream that much, but I'd like a chocolate malt. But chocolate flavored things don't really do it for
me. You need to be studied.
Oh, poor Calvin.
855-752-4842. It's punschke day. Pruned punschke is my, why are you punishing me? What is your thing? No, it's a dessert everybody else loves and you don't like it. Troy from Mount Horeb is on the line. Good morning, Troy. Thanks so much for joining us.
I had to call in because my favorite dessert growing up was always the German chocolate cake with the caramel coconut frosting.
Yeah.
So when the person said they didn't like coconut and Greg said they didn't like German chocolate cake, I had to call up.
So you are in defense of German chocolate cake.
Yeah. But I'm actually with the Sox City, I think he is, guy who says, I'll eat just about anything.
Just put it in front of me.
Yeah. So. There we go. Hey, this is my thing. Troy, more for you then.
Enjoy.
More for you. That's
Enjoy
what I say.
Enjoy the German chocolate cake. Absolutely. Thanks so much, Troy. Really appreciate it.
I thought of another one, too, and this divides rooms when I say it out loud.
Bring it on.
Carrot cake. Oh, no. Get it out of my face.
Sit.
Throw it into the sun.
The only thing that saves carrot cake is the cream cheese frosting.
I'll just eat the cream
cheese
frosting.
Well, that's the whole point. Carrot cake is a frosting delivery system.
It's a conduit?
It is.
I can't get past the disgusting carrot cakeness of it all.
Carrots are a little sweet, though. That's the whole point.
Yeah, it's like, especially like, I got a little carrot shavings in there. Are you out of your mind?
Kelvin.
I'm pro carrot cake, but I agree with Greg. It cannot have any carrot texture in it.
No carrot shavings.
I like the carrot cake, but make sure the carrots are well blended.
Right. Oh, it's... Rules, food rules. PJ, on the live stream, fruitcake is disturbingly gross.
Yeah. I will defend...
You are a defender.
I will defend fruitcake in one. This is all about the construction of it and the carpentry of the cake. If you do it well, it can be made, and you don't overdo it with candies and whatnot.
Okay.
It can be delicious. If you stick to one base, like one or two kinds of fruits, like a blueberry and a strawberry. But when you start throwing candies in there,
it gets too much.
It's too much.
Too much. As you on the live stream, I'll take your carrot cake, Craig, sans the frosting.
Whoa.
Okay. You and Calvin will be studied for years to come.
Best discussion ever.
What happened to you? Thank you, everyone, for joining us for this. We're just about out of time. When we return, we'll wrap it all up with This Shouldn't Be a Thing. Today, it's the 911 Emergency Edition with a little extra audio gift. Stay with us. You are listening to Matinee on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Welcome back to Matinee on Air. Jane Matinee, Greg Bach, resident young person Calvin on the board, coming to you from our studio here at Radio Park in Racine, where you can join us. Call or text. The number is the same, 855-752-4842. Leave a comment on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Before we went to the break, we were doing a little phone scan about... What dessert are you like? Yeah, no, why are you punishing me? And there are so many great texts coming in. I just wanted to share a couple of more. Megan from Sun Prairie listening in Madison on WMDX. If it's orange flavored, keep it away from me. Except sherbet gets a pass. Oranges don't go in cake or pie. Terry from Wausau, we were talking about punchkis, which started this whole thing. My Polish grandma would make punchki, and grandma and grandpa would have big fights over how to pronounce it. One day my grandfather pronounced it like my grandma. I asked why, and he said, looked at me and he said, choose your battle, son.
Yep.
Just give in. Exactly. John from Oshkosh, carrot salad, orange jello with shredded carrots and pineapple, devil's vomit.
And then
I just love how passionate people are about this.
Then Kenneth from Stoughton, WMDX, listening there. He said jello with shredded carrots made in a Tupperware bowl. Hard no. And in our chat that we have, Calvin says two separate people text about carrot jello. I've never heard of that. Neither have I, because apparently our mothers loved us.
Yep, you had a loving mother. But anyway, thank you, everyone, for joining us for that discussion. That was really a lot of fun. Thank you so much for the laughs.
We need those things.
We absolutely do. Coming up on the show tomorrow, Darren Van Ruden is going to join us. He's the president of the Wisconsin Farmers Union. Mm-hmm. 25% tariffs kicked in against Canada and Mexico at midnight, 12:01. We're going to talk about Darren Van Ruden and what he is hearing from Wisconsin farmers. So I hope you can join us for that. He will be here at 11:06. Right now, though, 11:54, Calvin, that means it is time for...
This Shouldn't Be a Thing.
As always, if you have a thing you think should not be, send it in to Greg and me at janesays@civicmedia.us. Today's Tisbat comes from upi.com. Ben Hooper with the byline. Headline, toddler playing with old cell phone calls 911 for emergency donuts. We actually have audio from this. Calvin, play that clip, please.
Moore 911, what's the address of your emergency?
Sir?
Hello, Moore 911.
What?
Hello?
Yes?
Do you have an emergency?
Oh, yes. Can I get you a baby whistle?
What?
Donuts.
I want donuts.
High five, baby.
Are you going to share your donuts?
So sad.
You're going to take me to mommy now?
I won't.
The 911 emergency call for donuts.
Yeah.
Don't we all want to do that? Oklahoma toddler found this old cell phone, which actually still had the emergency calling enabled. So the munchkin's playing with the cell phone and hits 911, and he requested emergency donuts.
We've all been there.
We have. And then told the dispatcher to have a good day.
Yeah.
Old cell phones may be unable to use high-speed data networks, but they can still use 911 in an emergency.
Yep.
As long as an old cell phone is functional, it can be used. This toddler was named Bennett. His request for emergency donuts did not go unheeded. Police actually went to the house and delivered from Dunkin' Donuts.
I'm so happy right now.
Don't call 911 and ask for an emergency.
This shouldn't be a thing. Calling 911 in big numbers asking for donuts. Don't do that.
No. But that's pretty adorable.
Emergency donuts.
just a good reminder, if you have old cell phones and toddlers around your house, you may want to keep them separated.
Oh, I was going to say, if you have old cell phones and toddlers, hand the toddler the cell phone and see what happens.
That wraps up today's episode of
This Shouldn't Be a Thing.
Coming up next, we have the Noon News, followed by Todd Alba from Noon to 2, Maggie Dawn 2 to 4, Dom Salvia 4 to 6, Pete Schwabba 6 to 8 p.m., Pat Kreitlow back on Up North News Radio early mornings from 6 to 8 a.m., and then Earl Ingram Jr. right before us from 8 to 10. Thank you, Greg and Calvin, and all of our engineers. Without you, nothing works. And thank you most of all for calling and for texting and for listening and for all the laughs. It's so important.
Yes.
And it really means the world. I hope you find some joy today and you have the chance to share it. Keep it here for news next. We will see you tomorrow right here on the Civic Media Radio Network.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.